Good morning and welcome to the PDA Writing Podcast. And if you can't tell by my voice, I just woke up. Today, we're reading Chapter 4 of P.I. Cohn and the Bicentennial, Antique Novelties. Kevin Miller was carrying a case of liquor as Chris and Dale entered the bar the next day. It was mid-morning, and the only other person in the bar was a woman taking down chairs from the tables. Kevin, who looked to be about in his early 70s, set the case down on the bar.
"Hello,"
he called out as he made sure the case wouldn't fall.
"Very old brandy," he explained. "Can't take the smallest risk. A vintage like that is worth protecting."
He studied the box as he was expecting it for dust.
"Now, a few subpar varieties I've been sent have mysteriously landed on the floor. I chalk that up to the gods, fate, or just a silly old man making sure that his customers only get the best. Now,"
he looked up at us as he clapped his hands together,
"I've been a bad host. Would either of you like a drink?" "I'm off duty, but I appreciate the offer,"
Chris said. Kevin looked at Dale expectantly.
"You're not a person in uniform, my young Dale. Would you care for something?"
Dale's face split into a wide grin. How could they say no to after speech like that?
"I'm sure a man like you is smart enough to figure out something for me. Something light, though," Dale added.
"It isn't even noon yet."
"If I remember correctly," Kevin said as he built a concoction for Dale, "you weren't so fond of certain social proprieties when you were trying to sneak into my bar at the ripe old age of 17.
"So you remember me?"
"Of course I do. I remember everyone."
He handed Dale the drink. Dale had to admit Kevin was attractive for a man old enough to be their grandfather, charming as well.
"Please, have a seat."
He gestured to a table, then at the woman who had been taking down the chairs.
"Let me reintroduce my sister. The charming as ever, Leah. She was with me on the Bicentennial."
Leah nodded at them. She sat down at the table for four, and they followed. Kevin, winking at Dale as they savored their drink. It was a good mixture. They would have to remember to ask what was in it. Before anything could be asked, Kevin plunged into his tale.
"The Bicentennial was the biggest celebration that this town had seen since my birth."
His sister elbowed him.
"All right, it was the biggest celebration in my lifetime. Better?"
Leah nodded.
"The official block party that ran down all of Main Street started at 11 a.m. People, of course, were there long before that, some even getting started at midnight. I just had recently come into the ownership of a bar at the ripe age of 29, and I decided to close it down for the day. I wanted to enjoy the party with the rest of the town, of course, still supplying the alcohol, but at least I didn't have to serve it. Leah was the owner of her mechanic shop. Our parents would have been very proud. She was also closed for the day, taking the time to make some quality memories with her dear older brother."
The elbow lashed out again.
"All right, I'll stop with the extraneous details."
She just raised an eyebrow.
"Leah and I were at the party all day. We arrived about 11:30 and stayed until the official end of the party at midnight. We had our own personal parties to go to that went well into the next morning, but that is not the matter at hand. It seemed as if the whole town turned out for the celebration. I had first noticed the twins around 3 in the afternoon, right?"
Leah nodded.
"I noticed them specifically because they seemed to be the ones, only ones, that weren't enjoying themselves. They seemed to be having an argument about something."
Leah tapped her hand.
Yes, thank you, Leah." Mary had been gesturing at Victoria's hand. "I'm not sure why a hand would cause so much debate, but they seemed to be having a very heated argument." Mary glanced around at one point and had noticed me watching them, promptly led her sister away after, somewhere more private, I would guess. Later that day, at about 6 in the evening, I had noticed them again. I had been subconsciously looking for them again for the entire day. I had been curious about what they had been fighting about. What would it look like when we saw them this time around? Is that where they were leaving, and kept on looking behind them as if they were making sure no one was following them? It was rather strange, which is why I think I remembered it.
Leah, with a curled hand, moved her index finger up and down.
The pictures, that's right. I do recall the newspaper taking pictures that entire day, though. You might be able to find something there.
Dale turned to Chris. Would the newspaper still have those photos on hand?
Yeah, Chris smiled. I'm surprised you don't remember. The paper published those pictures they took every year on the 4th. If I remember correctly, it was something we would make fun of every year when we were middle and high school. It was especially funny when we were able to see old pictures of our parents from that day.
I guess I had forgotten. It had been 13 years since I've lived here. Dale reflected back on specifically making sure that Andrew and them got that issue of the newspaper every year. It was sometimes bittersweet for Dale. A couple of years of such issues contained pictures of their parents. Dale stood up. Thank you for your time, Mr. Miller. They held out their hand.
I'm sorry I couldn't be more help, Kevin said, grasping Dale's hand firmly.
You were actually quite the help. The pictures could change everything.
Well, if you need anything else.
Kevin, still grasping Dale's hand, placed a hand on their shoulder.
Please don't hesitate to come back to the bar. The door is always open.
Kevin's expression changed from somber to something almost mischievous.
Make sure you have a drink before you leave, Dale. If you like that, I can make something better, and probably stronger than that.
He winked and let go of Dale's hand. Dale didn't know how to respond to that, except, of course.
It's always a pleasure, Chris.
Kevin placed two fingers at his brow in a false salute. Chris nodded.
Yeah, Kev.
As they turned to leave, Dale said, Why didn't you remind me of those pictures? I would have been looking at them days ago.
I honestly haven't been thinking about them myself. They really only pop up in my mind when they come out every year.
Chris looked like he was about to say more when his phone rang. The call was a summons to the ME lab. Dale and Chris stepped out of the elevator into the blinding white lab and saw Sylvia standing there waiting for them.
Oh, I couldn't be sent a call.
I mean, it probably could have been, but then again, maybe not. Sylvia started. Chris just waited. Victoria had given birth recently.
What?
Yes, probably within days of her death, along with a broken hand, her pelvis had some small stress fractures. They look only a couple days had passed since receiving them.
Would she have been able to walk?
Yes, but it would have been very painful.
Well, that was news we weren't expecting.
I'll see about working on the pictures,
Chris said.
I will call you when it's done.
His thumbs whirled across his phone.
Knowing the paper, though, it might take a while. Go do whatever it is you do.
Chris waved a hand as he put his phone to his ear. Dale smiled at Sylvia. Thank you for the news. I have a dinner to go to. It's barely noon. I need 6 hours to get ready. Sylvia rolled her eyes. Then you better go get yourself pretty. Can't be late for that hot old friend of yours. Dale winked as they left the lab. Maybe 6 hours was too much time to get ready. Thank you so much for having me over, Dale said as they sat down at the table. It's only been a couple of days living on cafe and vending machine food, but it gets old quickly. Home-cooked meal is very appreciated.
It would have been rude of me if I didn't invite you over.
My best friend, since infancy, comes into town and I cannot cook them a meal.
That would be shameless.
Andrew smiled, taking a bite out of his food. Especially, Dale added, since your cooking has only improved since I last sat at your table.
It has been a while. It's truly a shame you've missed so many good meals by my hand over the past decade.
Definitely a shame, Dale agreed as they took another bite.
If only you hadn't left.
Andrew ran his fingers over the stem of his wine glass.
You know why I did. Dale scrunched their napkin in their hand.
Yes, yes, a very non-committal version. I'm not sure you told me the entire thing. You left so abruptly, after all.
I'm sorry I left town without you. Rather, now I am. At the time, leaving would have always been without you. Dale took a deep breath. They knew this had been coming, but they still weren't prepared for it.
But why?
It was almost a whisper as it rolled off Andrew's tongue. I don't know where to start, Dale admitted. There was a lot that had happened those few months before they left.
Start with your grandmother.
That was the easiest thing to talk about. As you know, she died shortly after I turned 18. I was devastated, of course. But I was also left in her house with all of her things around me, reminding me every day that I didn't have her anymore. It was a mild kind of torture. It was something that I could only deal with in the moment. I knew I wouldn't be forever in that house, and I took solace in the fact that it was temporary. Even if I stayed, which at the time I had no intention to, I wouldn't end up staying there in that house. She was the only family that I had left.
I know.
Andrew had been there at the funeral. Then along came Stephanie. Well, technically, Steph was there before my grandmother died. But as you know, when she cheated on me, I was lost. I was broken. I'm not sure how I got through that last month. I do sometimes think that they just let me pass. A lot of people agreed with the reason Steph cheated on me. I think they wanted to see me go, and I was inclined to agree. The town was not a place I wanted to be after that.
It was not, but even with all our plans, you still left without me.
Andrew didn't even try to hide his bitterness at the fact, even after all these years. You know why I did? Dale had mentally flinched hearing that tone.
I don't actually. Well, not fully.
That day after graduation, we were hanging out at my house. We were making all the plans. We were euphoric that we were finally done with high school and could move on with bigger plans and ideas. We were almost screaming in excitement when you took my hand. Now, it wasn't unusual for you to do this. We were almost always in some form of physical contact with each other. The thing is, right after you took my hand, you calmed down. You gave me a look that I had never seen on your face before then. Dale was not ready for this.
Then I kissed you.
Yes. It was a wonderful kiss. Dale pushed the food around the plate, having lost their appetite. I just didn't understand why I liked it. As you know, people expecting us to get together followed us throughout our friendship. It was the culture we lived in. Who you were back then and who I was back then, it was the norm. After all, in the words of a horrible middle school teacher, boys and girls can't be friends. One of you must have a crush on the other. Dale emphatically shrugged, their hands flailing in the motion.
God, I hated that teacher. She's always trying to separate us.
Dale smirked. She was really bad. That sentiment stayed with me. I didn't know if I liked that kiss because I was expected to. It wasn't like I hadn't thought about that type of relationship with you before because of how everyone saw us. I didn't know if I liked it because I actually wanted it. For the first time since this conversation started, Dale looked into Andrew's eyes. It looked very similar to that day of the kiss.
I felt that for a while as well. But after you broke up, well, after Steph turned into a horrible human, I couldn't stop thinking about it. It ended up being the only thing that I wanted. And that month before you left, I was as sure about wanting you as I was that my name is Andrew.
That's pretty certain. Dale laughed. I'm sorry I was an ass. I didn't know how to deal with it. I knew I loved you. I have forever. But I didn't know if that love included romantic and or sexual interest. I ran away to deal with what was going on in my head.
Did you ever figure it out? How you loved me?
Andrew slowly took a drink from his glass. Yeah, I was attracted to you. I did actually want that kiss. It wasn't just the expectations. But by that time, I was sure you hated me. and I was too afraid to come back. Then once I would have had the courage, too much time had passed. I figured you had moved on.
I had for a while. Remember Sam Jennings?
Andrew leaned back in his chair. The most flamboyant person in school? Sam had been the only out gay man in school, and he made sure everyone knew.
Yep, I married him.
You what? Dale choked on their wine.
Married him.
Andrew laughed. What happened? Andrew's face dropped.
One night he drained too much and ended up wrapping his car around a tree.
Oh no, I'm so sorry. Dale wanted to reach out their hand to Andrew, but couldn't seem to make it move.
It was only a couple of years into our marriage. It was a long time ago.
Andrew crossed his arms over his chest and looked away. Still.
No one sense. This town is too small.
Andrew closed his eyes and sighed. I feel that.
What about you?
Andrew turned his attention back to Dale. I had a few people here and there. Was actually engaged once to a woman. I broke it off because I found out she considered me, like, man-like. Like I had all the right parts yet acted like a woman. She didn't make much sense, but I wasn't going to be with someone who didn't see me for me.
I see you for you.
Andrew dropped his hands back to the table. I know. Dale said quietly.
Do we want to?
I don't know. Dale was just as unsure as they had been back then, but for different reasons.
I wouldn't mind trying. You're the only one I've ever truly connected with, even after all these years.
We don't even know who we are anymore. That was the only reason they could seem to voice right now.
We are the same as always, just now people can see it.
Why don't we confirm that before we do anything? Dale didn't want to mess up the friendship they just got back. Romance was a dangerous game and a line that could not be uncrossed once it was. Andrew grabbed Dale's hand.
That is a start.
Dale had to admit Andrew's hand felt perfect in theirs. Well, good morning again. How did you enjoy Antique Novelties, Chapter 4 of P.I. Cone and the Bicentennial? We got to see a little bit more of Dale and Andrew, we got to meet Kevin Miller, and we got to know that Victoria Stevens was pregnant, and that she had recently had a child. So, to start, as we always do, let's go through what has been going on in that chapter and just kind of do a little bit of what I was thinking of when I was writing all of this stuff. So we start with Kevin Miller, who was very fun to write. A charming man in his 70s. Like, I don't know. It seemed to make sense in my head. Bartender, of course, still attending bar. With how charismatic he can be, obviously it's the job for him. And you have him giving Dale a drink. Giving Dale something that of his own concoction. Dale's like, yeah, no, this is good. And Kevin low-key flirting with Dale, like, the entire time. And Dale's like, you know, not my first choice of a person, but not bad either. I just found it amusing. But, because obviously nothing's going to happen. It's just kind of a little bit of a fun thing. Then we get into Kevin's story. And obviously you have his sister Leah helping him along the way. Where Kevin had seen the twins a couple of times that day, but like, nothing really. I mean, they were arguing and then they were leaving, seeming like they might, making sure they weren't being followed. It wasn't much of a help, but it was a start to know that they were there at the Bicentennial and arguing about something. Like, that's definitely a start for sure. I really enjoyed writing Kevin. We have Leah. Leah, in case you're curious, is mute. She doesn't speak. Which is why she was just gesturing, during that conversation to help, Kevin out as he told the tale. I don't remember if I had her know ASL or not, have both of them know ASL or not. But she doesn't actually speak, so it's all Kevin who's doing all the talking. And of course, being charismatic as ever, and, saying, like, it was the most important celebration, since his birth type of thing, and just being absolutely ridiculous. And that, until his sister kind of reeled him in and was like, fine, I'll be serious. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, I'm always serious. Like, that type of tone you get with siblings. Which, yeah, gotta have a playfulness between siblings. It works better. But... Hi, Raymond. My cat is calling for my attention. Anyways, I can pet him and do this at the same time. And then also in this, you learn about photographs that the newspaper took on the day. Obviously, they took pictures. Like, why wouldn't they? With the bicentennial. It was a very important celebration in the town. And the whole town had showed up for it, basically. Maybe there was one or two people not there, but for the most part, everybody was there. So, you have that element, too, where, like, everybody was there. So you have the photographs, and then you learn that they were published in the paper on every 4th since the original bicentennial. And you have Dale talking about how they and Andrew had... always made sure to get the paper to make fun with people who were in it. Sometimes bittersweet because Dale got to see their parents and all of that stuff. Then we go to the ME lab. And with the ME lab, you have Sylvia again, whom I love. And she lets Dale and Chris know that Victoria had been pregnant. Had a child recently, probably within days. That's a very short scene, not much. It's just kind of a here's some information type of thing. And then Dale joking's like, yes, I need 6 hours to get ready for dinner. But obviously they don't need that much time. They'll just kind of hang out until they actually need to get ready for dinner. Even if they already secretly kind of want to impress the old friend. But then you actually have the dinner, and we get to know a little bit more about Dale's past and why they left. We learn that, their grandmother died. Obviously, I know we had a little bit last time about how their girlfriend had cheated on them. But they also talk about Andrew and why they left Andrew behind. Because the original plan was for both of them to leave together. But at that point in time, nothing could have kept Dale there. Even for another day longer than they were. Let alone, like, I think the month-ish until Andrew would have turned 18 to be able to go with them. And so you learn that they had shared a kiss and were very confused. Well, Dale specifically was very confused about it. Andrew was very certain about everything to do with the kiss. Dale, not so much, but there had been a lot going on with him. And obviously those things are like, society is a little bit better now. I remember growing up too, talking about feeling like, if I need dude friends, that I had to have a crush on them. It couldn't just be like, hey, I enjoyed their company. And so, growing up, for the most part, I had all female friends. Until high school, actually. That was more of, they were part of the group. And I spent most of my time with my, friends that were, girls. And... though one of them was a dude, to be fair. That's beside the point. But yeah, it's that exploitation that any girl and boy who are super close, that they have to be in a relationship with each other. That's not something that I've enjoyed seeing in society either. And obviously with Dale, who's non-binary, and Andrew, who's a trans man, like, when both of them were kids, they were the boys and girls can't be friends together without, like, wanting to be with each other. And so obviously that expectation had just kept on ringing through Dale's head during that kiss. And so, yeah, they weren't sure. They weren't sure if it was the expectation that brought on that kiss and that why they enjoyed it, or if it was because they actually enjoyed Andrew. But, I mean, turns out that, yes, Dale had been attracted to Andrew, and probably still was. I mean, in my mind, Andrew is a very attractive person. Could I describe him to you? Absolutely not. However, I'm sure Dale definitely thinks how attractive Andrew is now, too. So, but even before then, before Andrew transitioned, obviously Dale had a thing. But learning about that and learning about, like, that's, like, one of the reasons why they ran from the town. I would say run away, but they were 18. They're in their full rights to run, to somewhere else. So, but obviously that kiss was a very defining moment. Yeah, and then you had, we talk, like, about their past relationships, one where, Andrew had married Sam Jennings, the out gay person, and, though I think later at that time, I think by that time they had married, Andrew was out as a trans man, but I think I had it to where, at least in my head, he hadn't changed his sex marker yet on his birth certificate, because obviously him marrying Sam Jennings, what was it, 2016? God, I feel like a bad queer person not knowing the day that gay marriage was legalized, but I think it was, 2016. So, I mean, like, it's 5 years ago. I mean, like, maybe, but I feel like it probably happened a little bit earlier than that, and so Andrew hadn't changed their sex marker on their birth certificate yet, so he was still able to get married to Sam because of that. They got married, and then Ashley Dale had been engaged once to a woman who considered him man-light. Like, that's idiotic. So yeah, obviously they didn't stay with her. But I know the feeling to want to be loved and with somebody who sees you for you, or me for me, whatever sense I'm trying to talk about this right now. And it's not an easy thing to find. I mean, I'm lucky right now because I have, but some of my past relationships, I don't think some of those people fully understood. To be fair, I don't know if I fully understood myself in that time period either. So, because I don't remember if I've talked about this or not, but I'm also non-binary. And so, Dale is an extension of myself in some ways sometimes. But yeah, because I know in my past relationships that wasn't always the case. And to be fair, in my past relationships I didn't always know who I was, or rather, I wasn't comfortable telling people who I was. So, but this, my current relationship, dude knew from the start. So, yeah. But anyways, beside the point. And then I get into, well, do we want to do again? Do we want to try? And Dale's just like, I don't know, for many reasons. But we can at least get to know each other a little bit more, I guess. Like, just kind of be friends for a little bit before we decide if we want to cross that line or not. But
And so I guess we'll see how the relationship between Andrew and Dale progress. Again, I love this relationship between them. Was greatly enjoying writing it. But that is going to be all for today. I have my 2-year anniversary to get ready for, because I'm recording this on October 2nd, in case you're curious. But I felt like doing a little bit productive in the morning, because I had the time, and I woke up with a motivation to be able to do so, which is rare, honestly. But good morning again. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and I hope you enjoyed Chapter 4 of P.I. Conan the Bicentennial Antique Novelties. Like, this is a fun chapter to write. I greatly enjoyed it myself. We are almost halfway done with the story, and I had thought about, doing other short stories or poetry, like, in between doing this, but honestly, I'm gonna finish P.I. Cone before I read anything else. So, good morning. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and I hope you enjoyed Antique Novelties, Chapter 4 of P.I. Cone in the Bicentennial. Goodbye, everyone.